I declare this meeting of the Joint Standards Committee held in this chamber open. Do we have any apologies for absence?
No, we received none.
Okay. To confirm the minutes of the special meeting of the Joint I think you should give these minutes, Michael, because you were you were supposed to be the chairman that day.
I'm quite happy if you want to continue there.
Well, we might have a technical problem that I might be objecting to.
Have you?
Yes.
No, I'm quite happy for you to continue on that.
Mr. Kelly probably knows what I'm going to say. How can we approve minutes when there is only one person here that is at the last meeting?
Yes, totally understand your objection, Councillor. I fear that we, without having the other members here, there's nothing we can do. I have no doubt that we can rely on Councillor Pearlman and his recollection. Alternatively, we could revert these minutes back to the committee that was for approval to make sure that there's no material changes or matters of fact.
Well, Is there anything here that you would say think that might be suspect?
No, not at all. In fact, I wouldn't know, would I?
But you've been around long enough to be able to read something and say, "Ooh, that doesn't sound quite right."
No, that's not.
Well, can I call upon Councillor Pearlman to give the minutes?
I rise to present the meetings held on the 7th of November 2013 at the Moore District Council Chambers. They're on pages 27, 28, Messer?
29.
29?
27, 28, 29. It's inside.
Oh, okay.
Are we recording these meetings? I assume, Chairman, that these have been through to council.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's agreed. Yes.
Agreed. Okay. Thank you. You don't need me to write it all out. No. Right, item 4, to receive a presentation from the monitoring officer, the process for councillor conduct complaints.
Thank you very much indeed, Chairman, thank you. I'm going to try and keep this presentation relatively short, sharp and to the point. I think we're probably all well aware of the complaints process. Yeah. Simply put, this has come to our door thanks to the Localism Act 2011 and the Nolan Committee, that derived the principles of public life. The Code of Conduct was adopted by Moreton District Council in July 2012 and has ever since been in place. As I mentioned, it is derived from the Nolan principles. The Nolan principles apply to anybody that works in the public sector. As you can see there, I've given a bit of a list, so pretty much everybody is duty bound to work to the Nolan principles, and here they are. So without going through them in too much detail, they are effectively not dissimilar to the basic points that you would expect any member to hold as their watchwords. So we have selflessness, to work in the public interest, integrity at all times, declaring and resolving any interests and relationships, objectivity, ensuring that we make decisions impartially with the best evidence and indeed without discrimination or bias. I would probably add to that any predetermination as well.
Oh yes,
on that one.
What's that in?
Yes. Accountability, so that means having a scrutiny committee, which we do have. Openness and transparency, which of course has been propounded by Mr. Pickles and his agenda, honesty, and then leadership.
Is he relevant
now? Well, I doubt if he thinks that. The code of conduct that we have here, the general obligations, when it applies, well, indeed, whenever you conduct business for the authority, or when you're acting as a representative of the authority. Some would say it goes beyond that. The basic foundation stones are to treat others with respect, uphold the law, avoid any form of discrimination, not to propound or indeed to associate with or support any activity that can be seen as bullying or harassment or indeed intimidation, yeah. And ensure that the impartiality of officers is not compromised. That's a biggie. Yeah. The constant themes throughout the Code of Conduct is that we must not disclose confidential information that we are exposed to. There are instances where you can. If at any point in time you feel at all unsure about that, that's where I come into your purview, I suspect, and we'll talk about it. Generally speaking, it's where you would give information to a responsible body such as the police or, you know, HMRC. And, of course, any disclosure of confidential information must be in the public interest, must be reasonable, and, again, in good faith. A member must not use their position to confer an advantage or compromise the impartiality of officers. This one, of course, is particularly not to pressure any officer into making a decision either way. Yeah. To be transparent, making sure that we disclose our interests about any form of pecuniary, none another, and any gifts and hospitality we may be lucky enough to receive. The improper purposes of the council resources, and of course, at the bottom of this, I would say consider advice from officers. So, as you already know, the complaints process is within the Black Book. It's in section 9. I've given the page reference there. Myself as monitoring officer, I take on the points man on stage 1. So, in essence, the complaint comes in to me. I acknowledge the complaint to the complainant and let the people who have been complained of know that a complaint has been received. I then have a discussion with the councillor or councillors who are concerned. I may then have some form of discussion with the independent person. The independent person in this stage, in my view, this isn't a personal opinion, but in my view, takes the place of the man on the Clapham omnibus to do our reasonableness test, to make sure that the reasonable man, given the evidence in front of him, would make a decision that it was either in breach or not in breach of the Code of Conduct. The process from there on in is that the MO, me, can refer to the political group leader for action. It can be a no action in the event that I don't believe that there's been a breach of the code. There can be a discussion which then leads on to an informal resolution or indeed no action. I can then refer it to stage 2, or indeed I can go straight to a responsible body, the police, most likely. In the event that I believe it needs to be put to stage 2, we would then start an investigation proper. So I would have had my own quasi-investigation in the initial stages. That will then be transformed into an investigation proper. And the investigation will then, at the end of it, have a finding of the complaint being upheld or it fails. In the event that it fails, it falls away for all intents and purposes. If it is upheld, then again, through stage 2, I can seek an informal resolution, but I must come to this committee to let you know what's happened. Alternatively, if it's something that I don't believe can be achieved through an informal resolution, then that's when I can come to the committee with my report and say it's my belief that this needs to be a formal resolution. At that stage, the committee can then choose to take no further action, or indeed can make a formal outcome. Now, the formal outcome and the ways in which you can apply sanctions to that end are laid out in, I think it's paragraph 15 or section 15 of the Joint Committee's Terms of Reference. I've given a bit of a breakdown here. So the committee can impose any action or combination of actions. Effectively, it's a bit of a pick and mix, this one. It is, of course, the case that you may be considering a breach of the code of conduct for parish councillors, in which case I've made references to the case of the parish councillor throughout this. There could be recommendations to council that there would be a formal sanction or reprimand against the member. It may be the case that he or she has all of the nominations removed, is removed from any committees that they sit on. It may be the case that they are stopped from coming into the building, that they can only come into the building into such rooms as are necessary for them to attend full council. We could have their email, IT, functioning, all that sort of stuff withdrawn. And for all intents and purposes, we could also arrange training for the member. And I could do that on your behalf. All of those sanctions, I suspect, would be considered very carefully prior to applying any of them. And this is just the last section. I've just put in a little bit here, useful further reading. The DCLG have provided this guide for councillors, which is quite useful. And there's also the PASS Probity and Planning for Councillors and Officers guidance document, which is quite useful too, primarily because these sort of things tend to come out of planning meetings. I said that I was going to be short and sharp, so hopefully that was it. If I have any questions, I'd be more than happy to take them. Oh, sorry, yes, of course. No problem at all. It's the final one. And if I put that on to... Is that okay?
Can I ask, is all that you said in under Section 9, or is it some extra bits?
All that I said there is under Section 9.
So we've got them all. Now, are we approving them again for a further length of time because it's already been through full council?
No, this is just my presentation here was just to give an idea of the actual process itself.
Yeah. But that's what we've agreed, isn't it? We've agreed in the past that's the way it is.
Yes. So you could apply any of those sanctions. Absolutely.
Yeah. And all the process, but you're not suggesting that we change the process.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So we've got it all in. So we've got it all before, and Michael and I have been on this committee for a number of years. Mm. Approved it. We presented it to full council, and it's been through full council.
Yes.
So whatever you've got. So if there needs to be any changes, then we need to talk about it tonight. And then we can make any adjustments. I hope we don't feel that we've done it. Bob?
I think the reason for this presentation is that about a third of the council is now new. And this information will be for their benefit as much as existing members.
So will it come before next full council as to be sort of approved again?
It will come, I assume, as part of your... report to council, Chairman.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I'm not suggesting at all that this is anything that would change anything that we have. So for the purposes of council, we wouldn't have to present anything because it wouldn't be a change.
Okay, so we'll...
It's just an informational update, really.
So we'll put it on the full council minute, so that full council agenda, so that everybody will have it at their fingertips and they'll know what we're doing.
Chairman, I think the process would be that you present the minutes and there will be a reference in the minutes
to this review of this and the
verbal report to the monitoring officer, which will be noted by council.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Sure. And as it sounds, this isn't a review, it's just purely a appraisal of the process.
Yeah. Are you all happy with that? Okay, we move on to item 5, dispensations for disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests and non-pecuniary interests. Now, you've got the report in front of you, and I'm sure that the monitoring officer will tell us about what she wants us to know.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, indeed. Each and every 4 years, we have this item on the agenda. For all intents and purposes, outside of the normal process for pecuniary, non-pecuniary and other interests being noted, there are a certain class of interests that are so common as to be generally accepted as being dispensations from the normal process. This is exactly what this report is saying. Section 33 of the Localism Act 2011 enables a council in certain circumstances, and I'm reading directly from paragraph 2.21 here, to grant dispensations to permit members to take part in the business of council, even if the member has a disclosable pecuniary interest relating to that business. Reading on, and this is just the main salient point here, 2.2.2, these circumstances are where the council considers that. And then we have four limbs. Now, just to give you a precis of what that says there is that these interests would be so common, particularly to the area, as to not really allow good governance to take place because it would apply to so many different people. So, as A says, without the dispensation, the number of persons prohibited from participating in the particular business, this is like a tongue twister, would be so great a proportion of the council or committee, etc., transacting that business that it will impede the transaction of that business. It's a regular dispensation. The section is there specifically to allow for this. The recommendation from me, simply put, is that we yet again agree these general dispensations as set out in 2.2.4.
Read. Yeah.
Well, give them a chance to read it.
Well,
are you happy
with that before I arrived at the meeting?
Yeah. Are you happy with that, Beverly?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so it's agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. Item 6, independent person.
Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, wonderful.
Again, this is another very short item. Our current contract for independent persons is up in next year. We currently have a contract with three independent people that act for us. It's imperative and actually a legal requirement that we as a council have those independent people. The previous contract was run and procured by Essex Legal Services on our behalf. They contracted not only for us but for others. Consequently, we now need to re-procure because we're at the end of the contract with those people. I would say at this point that our independent people have served us well and to my experience have been extremely professional.
Wasn't this the meeting that was held on the 31st of January? Do you remember that I did the morning one and you did the afternoon because they shipped me off to hospital, which is why the date is indelibly imprinted on my mind. And it says that perhaps we confirmed it at some later meeting, which says the 7th of February. Well, I was still in hospital then.
I don't remember anything after that.
No, I can't remember. I thought I just missed that afternoon.
I wonder perhaps whether it was the recommendation that was subsequently agreed at council and ratified that this is referring to.
Well, it could be. But anyway, the independent person and the reserves were appointed at the meeting of the 31st of January. Yeah, because Michael was there.
I suspect then that it's just a ratification of that this is referring to.
Okay.
So simply put, my recommendation and request is that we are allowed to proceed to the necessary arrangements for recruitment of the new independent persons and two reserve independent persons. I would just clarify on this point that this will be 100% an absolutely necessary because the new process that has to be carried out to remove any of the statutory office holders requires a panel which requires independent people to sit upon it. At the moment, that the makeup of that panel is still being discussed by DCLG and the LGA, but I suspect that we're going to end up in a situation where we need more than one independent person sitting on that said panel. So it would be extremely timely to have this
in place. The people that are already independent people reapply?
We'd have to follow our procurement protocols.
Because we've reached the situation where we've had so few meetings that the independent people haven't actually done much.
The independent people have, of course, assisted in these situations where we have had complaints in and they've only been stage one.
Yeah.
So they have been very useful to that end. I believe that other officers have spoken to, with them as well. So, but yes, they would be able to, the new procurement rules that came out this year would require us, I suspect, to place this on Contracts Finder.
Yeah. Okay.
That sounds absolutely ridiculous. You've actually said, Chairman, that the independent person has done nothing the last
2 years.
Not a lot. So surely this is something is de minimis and should not be affected by the procurement rules, whatever they may be, because obviously the contract, if you'd like to call it a contract, is going to be nowhere near of any interest to any French people.
French people?
Yes, go on.
I do understand what you mean.
Between you two.
I understand what you mean, Councillor. I would agree that I think that would be a less likely outcome of a cross-border interest, which is sure, I'm sure you were referring to there. The current procurement regulation states that anything of a value over £10,000 has to be put through Contracts Finder. Yeah, exactly. I mean, as long as we are able to satisfy our internal procurement protocols and that we have a fair, transparent and open process, then I don't think there'd be a problem. And to be totally frank, in this instance, I think we will be procuring for more than three, given this potential for needing a further panel.
Well,
but I do understand your point.
The trouble is, you see, that the constitution of this committee, meaning the members of this committee, have sent such a wave of fear through all the parish councils that everybody's been ever so careful not to slip up, because they know that if they do something wrong, they will be jumped on from a great height.
I'd like to think that, Chairman.
It's just my opinion. But it seems funny that ever since we've been on it, we've had one case.
Good news.
I'm sorry about that. So, Chairman, to what your statement, well, not statement, what you were saying, then the people that were chosen, can they be re-elected again rather than going through reapply, say going through the whole process again, which is quite lengthy?
What we need to do is we need to ensure that, first of all, we need to quantify the value of the contract. Mm-hmm. So if I put my procurement hat on, we would have to quantify the value of the contract, and then we would have to make sure that we didn't create a barrier to entry or any distortion of competition. So that's the issue, but absolutely we would hope that that we would have a lot of interest in it and that we would then get the best competition.
Do you need to know what we agreed to pay the independent person?
If my recommendation is agreed this evening, then I can find all that out at that point in time.
Well, I could tell you, because we approved it.
That was approved in open business, was it, rather than enclosed?
Yes, certainly was. It had to go through full council, because it was money.
Indeed. Yes.
£500 a year.
It
wasn't great sums, but then he hasn't done a great deal for it. But he's been available if he'd needed. That's the trouble with this committee. It only really meets when we need to meet.
I think we've been had our knuckles wrapped about that, Chairman. We need that. I think we need to meet on our formal agenda. I think it's four times a year or three times a year. The meeting's cancelled. Chairman, the issue that you've just highlighted, that we pay them £500 a year, I don't... I'm sure the monitoring officer is going to knock me back, but I don't see why we can't, if he's willing, reappoint the existing one and authorise the monitoring officer or officers, whoever it is, to find the additional two reserve.
Do take on board your point. I don't even know whether the gentleman concerned would be willing to do so. So, unfortunately, I couldn't confirm either way.
Well, yeah. The trouble is, we've met so seldom because we get to...
And the independent person is used.
Yes.
And not necessarily comes to the notice of yourself or this standards committee.
Anybody want to say anything else about this? We're going to appoint an independent person, whether it's the same one or a new one, and it could be two or three.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. But we're waiting to hear what the result is, Mike.
Chairman, and as far as Essex Legal Services, I mean, how do they fit into the equation? Do they have to reapply for the service, or that's just a done job, is it?
Speaking as an ex-Essex Legal Services in fact, there's two of us in the room today. No, it would be an internal procurement process, unless there was others where we could save money by doing so, but I doubt it. I think we'd probably be doing it internally.
Yeah.
And we'd be more than capable of doing that.
Right. Okay, we'll agree with that. Is there... I have been given no items of business which to decide whether it's urgent.
Sorry, Chairman, we need to make sure that the recommendation has been agreed. So
The monetary officer says, we want to make sure that recommendation was agreed. Do you all agree?
Agreed.
Yes, that's everybody's agreed. Okay, there's no other items of business. I declare the meeting closed.
Thank you, Chairman.